Hey guys, it's Kayla Yule from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.
Suck it. Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am John R. Bray.
Coming to you from our normal locations at our normal, well, sort of our normal time. About
yeah,
an hour
or less.
Earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were discussing what we wanted to talk about this week. And both of us had been mulling and brewing over the idea of how to flush out what we do here more for you. And I think that comes a lot from the feedback that I got while I was on the road and my experience with Anna Marie Cox, who does a podcast called With Friends Like These. There was a lot of feedback from people coming through my line, not only about depression and suicide, but also just about thank you. A lot of people were thanking me and you, John, for talking about single parenthood. And a lot of them were talking just about just the trials of parenthood in general. I think that these struggles that we have speak just to the universality. Is that a word?
Yeah. It is now. It sounds like it should be.
It sounds like it. The universality of just parenting in general. I'm now in a blended home, and I have a partner, and I don't think it has ever been more chaotic in terms of trying to manage children. It's just unending and relentless and...
Oh, yeah.
I think most parents, even with, you know, a partner, can relate to that part of these things.
And I have a puppy, so that's just like constant hell.
Right. I still can't believe you did that.
I can't either.
By the way, Anna Marie told me that her dog is on Prozac.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's made all the difference in the world. The dog was really, really, really anxious, and so she put it on Prozac, and it really made a huge difference.
Is that a thing they normally prescribe to animals?
Yeah, I think I've heard about it before.
Interesting. Wow.
If you have an anxious dog, sometimes you can take it in and they'll medicate it. Because living with an anxious dog is really, really, really hard. Because you really can't talk that dog off the ledge, you know?
No, not really. Wow. No, I had a friend who had an anxious dog, and they had, I don't know that they ever went the medication route, but they went with like the compression.
Oh, yeah.
Shirt,
that's right. I've heard about those.
But I mean, they make them for like really basic things like thunder, like a thunder coat, but I think they make them for broader anxiety.
So, yeah, so my cleaning lady, the cleaning person who comes, she comes twice a month. And when she comes through the door, Coco associates her with the vacuum.
And oh, God.
Coco runs and hides under my legs, under my desk, and stays there and presses her body against my legs the entire time she's in our home.
She's still afraid of the vacuum.
She circles my office and then goes into my legs and then circles the office and goes into my legs and
wow.
Yeah, so we were like, what would happen if we got a Roomba?
Oh my God. Oh man.
I have to find the YouTube video where somebody programmed a Roomba. If anybody doesn't know what a Roomba is, it's that little circular small device that you put on the floor and you just press go and it vacuums. It just goes around.
The vacuuming robot.
Yeah, it's a vacuum robot. And there's a YouTube video out there where somebody programmed the Roomba when it bumped into anything, it would scream an obscenity.
Oh my God. I would love a Roomba that did that.
So yeah, there's, you know, a lot of people came through to talk about, and they mentioned the podcast about, you know, finding a togetherness in, you know, this common struggle. And I know that there has been criticism that, you know, all we do is whine about having, you know, the trials of single parenthood. But I think what we're trying to do is sort of find solace, knowing that other people are struggling as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, I mean, and I know we've touched on this before, and there are definitely times where we whine about it.
Of course.
And I think all parents, maybe they don't whine out loud. Maybe it's just in their head. And everybody, I mean, there's just points in the day where you just bitch about certain things because it's tough. But I think a lot of times when you quiet that or you don't say anything, it's because you think it's just you. But then when you hear other people having that same struggle, mm-hmm. it just makes you feel less alone. I mean, that's why, you know, I don't even know how many episodes ago we kind of said solo solidarity, like alone together, sort of.
Right.
And whether those are parenting struggles or pet struggles or just in general struggles.
Struggles. So I'm going to be in LA by the time this goes live. This goes live on Thursday. I'm headed to LA on Friday and I'm holding a meetup at the Manufactory at the Row in downtown LA at 5 p.m. on May 25th. And we had to do a lot of research to figure out where to host because we don't have any idea how many people will come or not.
Right.
Because this isn't an official book event. They really don't like doing book events in New York or LA unless you're like J.K. Rowling, because there's a lot of driving and there's a lot of commuting involved that people right. are like, I'll just buy the book somewhere. So I thought, well, if anybody wanted me to sign their book or just to meet up, you know, why not, you know, make myself available for that? And a woman who works, it's this incredible space in downtown LA that they're revitalizing the whole area. It's got a lot of shops and food and arts and crafts and museums and stuff like that. And she sent me a Facebook message about how she works there. So I sent her a message last night and I'm like, can we go to this specific place? Can we go to the Manufactory? And she's working on the details and she says, and I'm sure she'll be okay with me saying this. She's just like, you know, I'm a single mom to a 10-year-old and your podcast, especially, you know, just listening to that, you've given me so much comfort and in knowing, you know, that we aren't alone in this. This is just this complete craziness. Complete and utter like brain mushiness or something like that. That's what she called it.
It's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I know we've mentioned this before too, but it's been interesting because we're are we 3 years old?
Yeah. A little over three. That point?
Uh-huh. Yeah. The number of people, I mean, there are obviously lots of single parents and lots of non-single parents that listen, but the number of people who aren't parents at all who listen because maybe they're considering having kids, maybe they've already decided not to and they just like this weekly confirmation of their decision that really you shouldn't. But then other people who were maybe raised by single parents. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting for them to, you know, now as adults to get this perspective. You know, there's just such a wide variety of listeners. And over the years, we've received so many either comments on social media or emails in addition to these comments from the book tour. And we read them all. We're not always great at responding to them all. And we always talk about them. And there's so many good ideas that need to be explored in greater detail.
Yeah. And I think what we want to do, we'd love to have you guys send us links to articles and videos and whatever interesting thing you find online, and we'll credit you just about these topics that we're exploring and just give you guys a more robust experience socially to round out these conversations. I think I would love to have listeners on as guests to give us their perspective as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if the listener has something that they want promoted. Like, that's why, I mean, I've known Anna Marie Cox. She ran a blog called Wonkette back in the day. It was kind of an insider's blog about Washington. She did a phenomenal job. We were talking about that, the old school days of of blogging. And she brought me on because she knows me, but she also knew that I was promoting a book. And our conversation was just, it was like I was talking to a sister. I would love to bring listeners on who have something that they want to share or promote. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Even if they're not, you know, necessarily specific to parenting, like it doesn't have to be.
If you have art, if you have music, if you have
a book,
a book, a book,
a book. Yeah. And I feel like too, we've asked for these things in the past. So I know I'm sure there are people out there listening who are either rolling their eyes or not really wanting to spend the time to send these because it feels like in the past, maybe they haven't been heard or we haven't addressed them yet. And that's fair, honestly. And I think we both acknowledge that, right, Heather? Because we've just, there's been other things going on and we've remained really committed to keeping MRS up and going with as much regularity as possible. And we talk regularly about, you know, hey, we got this interesting email about this possible guest or this possible topic. We should really do that. And then we just get caught up in, you know, juggling kids or deadlines for work or any number of other things. And over the last couple of weeks, we started talking about how we need to not let that keep happening. This needs to become more of a focus because it's really important to both of us and it's become really important to so many of you. And it's time to give it an overhaul.
Yeah. So I am going to Paris this summer while my kids are away. And I'm going to use that time, one, to recover from, because I'm going to LA this weekend, and then the week after that, beginning the 9th, I'm going to New York, and then from New York to Chicago until the end of that week. So there's a whole week that I'm gone.
Right.
And then I have 1 week home, and then I send the girls off to New York, and then I go to Paris. So Paris is sort of the like recovery from the intensity of the last couple of months. But I also am planning to dedicate my time there to this. I'm also dedicating my time there to learning and figuring out how to schedule my life. And right now I can't really say, well, from 8:30 until 2, nobody gets my time except for me doing the work that I need to do. Because like right after we record, I have somebody from the Deseret News coming over to do a podcast. And then there's another podcast that I have to be on this week. And it's a 3-hour long process. And then I have like 2 doctor's appointments. And it's like, okay, so I think I need to read up on how to schedule life so that I have larger chunks of time to devote to work. And podcasts and being a guest on podcast is work because I'm promoting my book. But I'm sure that somebody has solved, I'm sure somebody has a bullet journal of how to manage 2 children with work, you know, when your day has to end at 3 o'clock sharp. So I guess what this is all about is like rededicating ourselves to figuring it out. Because I had a very long conversation with Cowboy. Coming down from a book tour is a lot more devastating than I thought it was going to be. Not only because of the stories that were shared with me, but because, you know, there's a lot of travel. This is 2 years of work that I just shoved into the world. And I realized, and you may feel a little bit like this too, like there's a part of me, and this is not a complaint, and this is not me comparing my children to anchors, but there's a part of me.
Or maybe it is.
Hold on, let me have a sip of water before I say this. We had this really long conversation. He was trying to get it out of me, my frustration. And I said, you know, I feel like I'm chained to a radiator because I'm on constant call for those two kids. I'm on constant like alert, and there's so much that happens spontaneously and out of the blue, and things that happen and fall out of the sky. And it's frustrating because I feel like I don't have the time that I need to reach the full potential of what I want to reach. You're silent.
No. That's a, and it, yeah, I mean, like you said, it's not that Lexton is like a burden or dragging me down. It's just, yeah, I mean, it is that potential, like, and not even just me reaching that potential, but the things that I work on, like this podcast, being able to apply what I need to it when I need to apply it. Mm-hmm. And I think there's also that additional challenge with this where even if we both, let's just say we both manage to have an hour a day to work on MRS, whether it's email or social or recording, finding that we both have the same hour,
right,
is incredibly difficult. And then you also throw in the 1 hour time difference, which isn't huge, but it's huge when you're trying to regularly schedule time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we mentioned at the start that we're back to our regular day and time. And it's funny because anymore, I mean, we do have a standing time, but I don't know, 8 out of the last 10 times we've recorded, it's probably not been on Tuesday or at the same time.
Right.
Because there's really no regular time. We just both know that we need to find a time for it sometime between Monday and Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And we squeeze it in. So having to juggle it around, but it comes back to, you know, how I always say that, you know, no one ever has time, you make time. It comes back to that, I think.
Yeah.
Like making the time to do it, which is way easier said than done. But that's ultimately what it is.
And I think people can relate to that. I mean, I think people, I know I'm not alone when I look at my calendar for the week and I'm like, fuck. Ugh. How did this happen?
Right. Always.
And it's also.
But it's also like, you know, you say, everyone says, well, I really wish I could get to the gym more often, or I wish I could read more often, or any number of these things. But then if you really take a step back and look at your week, like, well, I didn't actually need to binge watch Netflix for 3 hours. I could have read for an hour, gone to the gym for an hour, and then done this other thing for an hour. And I'm not criticizing Netflix binges or how anyone spends their time. The same thing applies to me. I'll finish a week and think, I really wish I had done that, but I didn't have time. But I could have. If I had planned it better, I could have. And maybe it's just hindsight in that case.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also, and I'm going to just totally bring this up. It's also about money.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we have a few sponsors through our host, and we're looking at other options. But Patreon really, really, really helps us keep this up and running. It keeps Ryan, our amazing audio person, at the go. And it's not that we want to... It's not that we want this to be a cash cow. We really enjoy doing this, and it costs money to do it. By the way, I'm packing my podcast equipment for Paris. So
excellent.
Excellent. It'll be a huge time difference.
Yeah, that won't be difficult to coordinate at all.
But you're going to get to hear the background noises of Paris, which will be there amazing.
And I'm a morning person, so theoretically, yeah, it'll be like breakfast for me, lunch for you, so that should work out.
Yeah, be great. It's not that big of a time difference, yeah.
Yeah. But it is, I mean, money is a part of it, and there's been things that I know we've talked about before where, like, we would love to do transcripts.
Yes.
Every single episode. Like, that's been a goal from the very beginning, but that's a cost.
Right.
We've talked about, there are multiple podcasts that do video recordings. And I know that everyone would love to see us both hold up in a dark corner somewhere. That's something we've talked about doing. But again, piecing that together and organizing that is a cost. And then when you look at all of that and say, you know, we both love this podcast. but we also have clients who pay the mortgage. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, it's not necessarily making time. It's saying, well, I have time and I can do this thing for a client that pays me, or this thing that I'm really passionate about, but doesn't, you know, pay the bills.
Right.
And that's just the truth of it. But we've kept it going because we both do really enjoy it.
Well, yeah, Cowboy asked me, he's like, you know, is the podcast worth it? And I was like, well, absolutely. Like this brings me so much joy. Like this is like the therapy session. I mean, I'm kind of paying for it.
Right.
But this is kind of the therapy session that, you know, my therapist now is, she upped her prices. Oh my God. So I would like to go see her, but it's not really in the cards right now. So yeah, this helps just being able to talk through things like this. And I know hearing from people helps me work through things.
There were multiple emails sent that were very encouraging about Wisdom Teeth. I have to go back and look, but I think there were like six or eight in a row that had the same subject line, and it was something like, it will be fine. Just over and over and over and over. And I didn't respond to anyone because I hadn't scheduled it, and I felt like I was going to hold off until I did. And that's officially scheduled. And I'm going to respond to each and every one of you who sent encouraging words, because that really did help.
Yeah.
I'm still not looking forward to it at all, but it helped. That's like 2 weeks from now. So.
Oh, wow.
Oh yeah. It's going to be great.
Wait, when is it?
June 6th.
Are you going to be well enough when I arrive in Chicago?
Oh, I'll be there. I might be swollen and drugged up, but I will fucking be there.
So, news about Chicago. So I'm going to New York that Monday. I fly from New York to Chicago to speak at the Kennedy Forum on Tuesday. I speak at the Family Institute on Wednesday. And then the Family Institute is giving me an extra day in a hotel.
Oh, nice.
So I am trying to plan something for, so that would be the 13th of June.
That's a Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're working on something there, either a podcast meetup or a combined podcast book meetup or a book reading, or like we're trying to figure that out. We will, and you and I will discuss those details.
So. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That'll be good. It's a good time to come. And we were texting about it. It will be great because we haven't seen each other since 2016.
And we won't be running a marathon that we didn't train for, or I didn't train for.
Yeah, that'll be. Yeah.
Ah, yep. I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, we spent like our first chunk of time together sort of mentally preparing for the marathon, and then ran the marathon, and then
collapsed.
Spent the rest of our time basically dead.
Watching Donald Trump stalk Hillary Clinton during a debate.
Oh, that's right. That is what we did. Oh, I forgot all about that.
Oh my God. Oh, that was a bad, bad year.
Ooh. Oh, that was like a month, almost exactly a month before the election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
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 Memories. I mean, honestly, that's like a period of time that so many people don't want to remember, but here we are.
Here we are with, 23 presidential candidates for the Democratic nomination?
Come on.
Wow.
I felt like 2016, just in general, the pool of potential candidates was ridiculous, and figured that maybe that was a fluke. But no.
No. I'll tell you what, though. Like, Elizabeth Warren is tearing it up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We weren't really even going to cover politics here, but it's so ridiculous to me because clearly there needs to be a change. But I don't know why those 23 people can't get together and figure their shit out instead of fighting against each other for, in theory, the same cause. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. I think it's because, and I think it applies to absolutely everyone, like even Elizabeth Warren and Barack Obama, like there's an arrogance to it. I really want the Democratic Party to win, but I am clearly the best person to do that. Uh-huh. So I have to run. And then you have 23 people with that same attitude that are unwilling to bend or flex in any direction.
We'll see through the primaries what happens. That's what I'm hoping, is that we thin everything out through the primaries.
I hope so. I hope so.
And I'm pretty sure that we're safe to talk about politics here. As everyone knows, like, my whole family is very, very, very conservative. And I love them dearly, and we get along very well. And, you know, sometimes my mother has expressed a lot of concern about immigration in the sense that she doesn't agree with what's going on.
Currently?
Yeah. Like, okay. She's really upset about what's going on currently. My mother has expressed this. They're finally sort of coming around to the idea of more affordable healthcare.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
They're starting to say things, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Did you just eat a Democratic cookie? What's going on? But there was an Amazon comment left on my book by someone who said that this just reeks of white privilege and white woman privilege, and she lives in one of the least diverse states in the country, and she has help, and she works from home, and she had it all. Why should she be so depressed? And that's the only way that she was able to do this treatment, and et cetera, et cetera. And I actually commented, and I said, I appreciate what you're saying. I actually wrote several pages that were scattered throughout the book about my white privilege and how I knew that I was extraordinarily lucky to be able to do what I was doing. But they slashed all of that out of the book. Like, they were like, we are not talking politics. They wouldn't even let me talk about the election in the book. And
really? You wrote about it and they cut it?
Oh, I wrote a chapter about it because I was working for the nonprofit and I was relaunching their entire brand identity and website the same week of the election. And I was working probably 20-hour days, and I had been doing that for two straight weeks and trying to get this website and the identity and brand and cards and letterhead and all of it up and running. And then the election happened, and I thought that I was in a hole. I was just in a little bitty little puddle. I fell into a hole. And
That recalibrated a lot of things for a lot of people.
And they slashed that entire, they're like, no, we're not doing that. Because they wanted the book to reach as many people as possible who might be depressed, but who might disagree with my politics. And I trusted their judgment on that. Because, I mean, this wasn't supposed to be a political, you know, manifesto. It was supposed to be, you know, a description of what it feels like to feel this way.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, Dad, not the car again.
Oh, happens all the time with old Betsy.
Have you checked out Carvana yet? They have thousands of cars for under $20,000.
But do those thousands of cars have personality like old Betsy?
Betsy's held together by tape. And there are raccoons living in the engine.
It's a family car.
There are flames on the hood.
Custom paint job.
No, Dad, the car's on fire.
How many cars did you say Carvana had?
Visit Carvana.com to shop thousands of cars for under $20,000. We'll drive you happy at Carvana.
Hi, this is Kendra Adachi from the Lazy Genius podcast, and I am so excited that the new KFC chicken nuggets are here. You have never had nuggets like these before. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe, and absolutely delicious. They have become a go-to favorite the kids love to fight over, and I hope they make dinner easier and more fun for you too. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
I don't know what the comment said specifically, but even if all of that were true, like that you're really out of touch and really privileged and don't realize, even if it were, the whole point of that was to bring attention to this treatment, to bring attention to depression and treatment-resistant depression, and the fact that there's work being done out there and to open eyes about that. So, like, in none of that would change, right?
Right.
Like, that's still there. And if all that book served to do was to educate someone and say, well, this is out there, this work is being done, and that's amazing, then that's fantastic.
Well, I guess there's also the component of, if I'm that depressed and I have the opportunity to do this and for my kids to have, you know, a happy mother again, Why wouldn't I participate in it? If I had the opportunity, I would want anyone who was in my position to have that opportunity, just for the sake of those girls.
Yeah, and your position is and has always been that that getting that kind of healthcare, whether it's trial or not, shouldn't be a privilege.
Right.
Like it's. It shouldn't matter. We do live in a country where it does, but that's not how it should be. And that's not like what you advocate for.
Right.
It's very weird.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I've faced that criticism before. The woman who interviewed me for Vox, I think I mentioned, so Vox, V-O-X, the online magazine. She was 12 when I began blogging.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she made a point about, she was just like, Heather never recognized her privilege as a tall, blonde, white woman in her success until 2014. Like she made a point about saying that. And I explained to her, my whole relationship with Kelly Wickham, who was a guest on our show, how Kelly, like, I was terrified to write about privilege and race because I didn't know how to. I was extraordinarily afraid as a white woman to talk about it because at the time I thought as a white woman I needed to shut up. When Kelly was like, no, you don't shut up. Like, we want you talking about this. I would say that my not talking about it up until that point was fear. The fear of doing it wrong. And that's when Kelly said to me, Heather, when have you ever done anything right?
Right. But that article pointed that out as like, as a negative.
Yeah. As a huge negative. She was like, she was fact checking and she's like, I went back through all of your archives and you never talked about your privilege until I think it was like 2014, and I'm like, yeah, this is a big thing. This is not a small topic of conversation at all. But it was a one-liner in the piece, and a lot of people clung to that. I don't know, like, that's another thing about, you know, press is being reduced to certain lines in a journalist piece about you.
Right.
That's a weird reality.
That mentality has kind of, for me, been an issue, especially, I mean, we were just talking about politics, but especially since the election, is you get these people, for example, who were maybe duped by Trump and voted for Trump. And, you know, a year after that realized, oh shit, that was a mistake. Like, I see things differently now. I've become more educated on these things. I really shouldn't have done that. And they voice that And so many people are quick to jump on them and say, well, fuck you, because you voted for him. So you really have no right to say anything. Fuck off. Mm-hmm. Like, you're somehow you can't change your opinion or change the way you do things. Like, doing so is almost worse than remaining the same. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that discourages people from doing that. So in your case, you know, you didn't really know how to approach it, so you didn't. And then Kelly came into your life and you started to see things differently and you started to really directly approach that.
Right.
And instead of so many people saying, well, that's great. Yeah, maybe I wish she had done it sooner, but I'm really glad she's doing it. People just get angry that it took you that long.
Yeah.
And I feel like it makes people like you or people who voted for Trump then kind of turn around and give the finger and be like, fine, then I'm going to go back to how I was, which defeats the purpose.
Yeah, I think also an example, well, in my mind, I thought, well, my expertise is writing about a parenthood and my life and what it is like to live, you know, with these kids here in Utah, being a former Mormon. Like, I thought that was my expertise and that's where I should write. Like, that's what I could write about. And then as the talk of privilege and the talk of race in America became much more vivid and much more upfront, that's when I started to rethink things. And Kelly was, of course, a huge, huge catalyst for that. There's a politician here in Salt Lake, a conservative politician who I believe his daughter he basically realized within the last few years that she's a lesbian, and his views on LGBTQIA rights has completely changed because of that. And yes, it took him having that personal experience with a change, but he changed. And do we discount that?
Right. That should be celebrated. Like, yes, maybe he should have held that view longer. We wish he had, but he holds it now.
And we're quick to say, well, oh, it's just because now it affects him. Now he's on board. Well, he's on board now.
Right.
I think that's a good thing.
We act like we kind of disregard the impact of a personal experience. And this is a really weird example, but I've never in my life been a dog person. I have friends with dogs. Like, I see people with dogs. I mean, I was fine with dogs. It was fine. I fucking love my dog. I totally get it 100% now, completely, because I've had that experience. And the only way for me to get to that point was to have that experience.
Yes.
And it's the same thing. If you surround yourself with people who are anti-LGBTQ rights and you don't know anyone in your life who fits into that category, it makes sense that your views would be anti. But then when your sphere changes, your views theoretically shift. And I think it's important to also realize that there are people who realize, oh, my son is gay, and then they disown him and hold on to their views.
Yeah.
So we really should celebrate the fact that people are willing to change because they don't have to. Like, you could have met Kelly Wickham and she could have encouraged you to write more about that and you would have been like, nah, mm-hmm. I'm just gonna keep doing what I do. But you didn't. You know, this politician didn't stick with his views. He shifted.
He shifted, yeah.
And it should be celebrated and not criticized.
This is getting really, really all cozy and warm and friendly.
Isn't it? That's why we're shifting our approach to MRS. We're evolving.
We're evolving.
Trying to.
I mean, I had a complete change of heart when it came to devices because of my personal experience with Marlo. You know?
Right.
I totally understand now why people are concerned about devices. I used to be like, fuck all this stupid shit about, like, devices. Who cares about, no, they're fine.
Right, nope. Because Lita was.
Like,
she was fine with devices. It worked out. And then you realize, like, the other side of it. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay. that's kind of problematic. I mean, all right, we had probably said some things that were fairly judgmental of people who homeschool. I homeschool my son now. I'm willing to admit that I was wrong or kind of had some blinders on, and I now see things very differently. I still think there are probably better and worse ways to approach it, but that's just my own personal opinion. But people change.
People change.
Theoretically, I mean, honestly, I would hate to not change at all. Change is the only constant, right? That's what they say.
Because of because I've taken away her devices, she has become a complete outdoorsy, like, jungle master. She's outside all the time. She's got a colony of snails that she's keeping in a specific part of the yard.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
She tends to them?
Yes, she tends to
them.
That's
so awesome.
And then I think that she had some, I don't know if they lay eggs or if the larva, for some reason, while I was gone, they did some research and they found some larva and they planted it or did something, and she's growing snails in some way. I don't know what
she's like. Yeah. Fully raising her own colony here.
Yeah, and she's outside like barefoot, and she comes in and she's got dirt on her face, and I love it. It's amazing. She goes to the park all the time by herself, which is about, you know, a half mile away. Yeah. It's great.
That's pretty great.
You know, that change in me going, you know what, there is a point. People have a point about these devices has given Marlo the outdoor experience that she probably always wanted.
Oh, yeah. Wanted, but didn't ever really realize.
Yeah.
Or at least needed, maybe not even wanted, but like just needed for her own brain. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I actually thought of her because I had, don't know how this hasn't come up yet, my sister's family stayed with me over the weekend, which means four children.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like 10 7-year-old twins and almost 4-year-old and a puppy. So it was... There was a lot going on, but two of them were, I don't know what you'd call, like when they, like their pajamas are like a bodysuit that looks like an animal with a hood. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep. The onesie.
I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
One of them is a deer. I don't know what the other one is, but I had to take Lily for a walk, and one of the 7-year-olds, like in her deer thing. Like, can I go? Yeah, sure. So I'm walking down the street with a dog in a sweater and a girl dressed like a deer. I'm like, this is awesome. And I immediately thought of the llama hat. It was great. She's out there just totally owning it, walking by people. Yep. And it was awesome.
Isn't that great?
Oh, it totally is. I mean, it was not a care in the world. Like, yeah, I'm dressed like a deer. What of it? And they look comfortable as all hell, honestly.
Oh, yeah. She's got a unicorn, one of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Speaking of chaos, on Sunday, I have been furiously trying to get book plates signed and mailed. It's been a lot of work just because normally a publisher just sends you the book plates and you sign your name and you send them back. But I offer to personalize them. So each one has a different message. I was furiously trying to get that done when suddenly Cowboy's daughter told him that she had a video due on Wednesday about cooking cookies with a friend
a
from
video?
Her class. A video. Making three different kinds of cookies, and it had to all be in Spanish. They had to speak in Spanish.
Okay, that's like two huge hurdles in one project.
It was pouring rain. And we're like scrambling to figure out how to get this, help her with this video. And he remembers that one of his best friends speaks Spanish. So he calls his friend. His friend comes over with his son, his 5-year-old son. So it's me and Lita and Marlo, and her friend comes over. And then Cowboy, his two children, and then his friend and his 5-year-old son, and then his daughter's friend from school and her mother were all in the house together.
Oh, yeah, that's
I think there were like 50 people in the house, and it's pouring rain, and we have to leave at a specific time to go to the motherfucking Pikachu movie.
Detective?
I don't know.
Detective Pikachu? Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but I, you know, I agreed to go because I love him and I love our family.
So how was the movie? What's your review?
Well, first of all, I had no idea that that was Jaden Smith. Jaden Smith is the lead.
I didn't. I know very little about that movie, honestly.
It was fine. It was good, you know? It was fine.
I'm gonna keep it pretty neutral?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, we could. I mean, I have a lot more feelings about the ending of Game of Thrones than I do the Pikachu movie.
Well, I have never seen a single Game of Thrones episode.
Yeah, you know.
Ever.
I have to say that when a series finale is bad, it kind of makes Twitter fun the next few days.
Oh, God. Yeah, like, people are pretty upset.
Twitter was hysterical. Like, that was. Twitter was hysterical on Monday. I actually indulged just going through some of the memes. I was on the floor laughing because it was a pretty, pretty fucking ridiculous ending. I mean, some of it was good, but some of it was just like, oh, really? Twitter was just hysterical. People are really, really witty.
But some people are, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like before social media, you would watch a movie or read a book you really hated, and then you would stop seeing movies with those people in them or stop reading books by that author. And that was what you did. But now there's like petitions to redo it, and fans are demanding a new. And I'm like, you know what? Just fucking deal with it. The story didn't go the way you wanted it to go. And I understand being really invested in something, but you're invested in something that somebody else is making.
Mm-hmm.
And you then take that risk that it could be shit. Right? I mean, and I'm not minimizing the disappointment, but this idea that people are somehow entitled to a remake is crazy to me.
Yeah. And for me, it was like, I was just like going to sit back and enjoy the witty people.
Right.
taking all sorts of the parts of the ending and turning it on its head. And it was just so fucking funny. Yeah, that was a takeaway from the weekend. After all that chaos and after going to see the Pikachu movie, that's the only way that I can say it. I went and saw the Pikachu movie.
Did the kids like it?
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So,
and time well spent after a Spanish cooking video.
I know. It was insanity. There were like 10 people in the living room. And so the living room is the one place in the house where I can, like, writing for me is very difficult because of, you know, the damage that I've done to my hands. So I need to sit at the coffee table, and that's like the exact height that I need in order to write. And right. I have to keep each one of these in a specific order. There's like 350 of them. I have to keep them in a specific order because they go to a very specific address because they're personalized. And I have them sitting on the coffee table. And this guy's 5-year-old is running around. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Anxiety. It hasn't gone away completely.
Oh, wow.
So.
But they stayed in order.
And then yesterday, I mean, I am, you know, I'm drowning in trying to catch up because there's so much going on with kids at school, the end of the year, dance performances, and I'm drowning in trying to catch up with work after being gone for so long. And Lita put all the Pete. Why am I calling? Is it Cowboy? I don't know. We'll take a poll.
Just call him Cowboy Pete.
Cowboy.
Cowboy Pete. I advocate for that.
Well, so, and I need to talk to Lita about this. Lita went through and put all of the addresses and everything into a spreadsheet for me, except that she didn't do a really good job about formatting the addresses. And okay. I gave him access to the Google document, and he printed all of the addresses on envelopes because I didn't want to put this on my publisher to have to keep all of this straight, because they may not keep all of it straight. So I did a lot of work with these book plates. And so yesterday he brought home 350 envelopes, and he and I and Marlo and his son sat around that coffee table and folded those book plates into a piece of paper and shoved them into the right envelopes. It took us 2.5 hours with all four of us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like assembly line style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he has helped me out quite a bit with all of this. Yes. Anyway.
Team effort.
They're coming your way. Some of them forgot to send me their addresses, and those will be coming in just a little bit because I have to, there's a second batch coming. Anyway, we would love to hear from you. We really would love to hear from you about links and stories and videos and what you would like to see from us and topics and engagement
and guests
and guests. Because this is, we have rededicated ourselves to this, and mainly because of, I mean, a lot of it, the catalyst is that hearing people connect with this has renewed our hope in it, I think. Not that we didn't have hope in it, but it's energized it. And right. So if you would, you can write us stories at manicramblings.com, and you can find us online, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Manic Ramblings, where we're trying to post a little bit more. You did post something about sleeping naked.
I did. I might be wrong about that.
Oh, maybe. You might. Marlo sleeps naked.
If Marlo doesn't, then honestly, everybody she's should probably like, just do it.
She's just like, I can't stand sleeping in clothes. Get it off.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, we'd love to hear from you, and we love you, actually. I think we can honestly say that, like, the support that you've shown us has been phenomenal, and really, 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 really appreciated. I'm going to get really teary-eyed because the feedback has been really, really great.
And so many people from the very beginning, or people who even, I honestly am amazed with those of you who found us at, like, episode 75 and caught up. Truly, I mean, it's incredible.
Hi,
and
Nicole.
It just means so much.
I'm just going to give a shout out to Nicole again if she's still listening. Hi, Nicole. She randomly sends me the Brad Pitt gif where he's pumping his fist in the air. Yeah. And I always appreciate it. It brightens my day, along with the pictures of your dog, of course.
Oh, yeah. Pet photos are always welcome.
Always welcome.
Yeah.
Although definitely. Lily is the mascot now, I believe.
She's pretty great.
Yeah. So.
And Patreon. You can find us on Patreon.
Yes.
Patreon.com/manicrambling.
Yeah. A couple dollars a month would help. We'll go a very, very, very long way. We promise not to use it on hookers and blow.
Mostly.
Until next time, thank you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. We are in this together. And I know that's sappy, but suck it. Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.